Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. He has so many wonderful things to say to His people. To make it all short and easy, God is good and He loves you. Now, yesterday I kind of mentioned about Joseph. And I was showing how people can do things that's wrong and then realize it and regret it and then repent. But I didn't finish yesterday's broadcast. Now, Joseph's brothers were they had so much animosity and strife that they could say nothing good about him. And they wanted to kill him. But the older brothers wanted to save his life. Reuben said, let's put him in a pit, and he was going to rescue him and deliver him to his father. But before he could get back, the other nine brothers sold him to the Ishmaelites. You know, and they got their money and they were happy for a moment, just like people do when they sin. But see, when you sin and do something wrong, you don't see the terrible hook side. They want immediate relief from the way Jacob loved Joseph. And they feared that he would put Joseph over them. And in the dreams that Joseph had, that his brothers was bowing down to him. They didn't want to bow down to the youngest brother. And they didn't want to submit to the authority of their youngest brother that they helped raise. And they were jealous against him. And the other reason I share that, you know, when I was endeavoring to know God, I was getting somewhere. I was learning things. And the very people who inspired me in the first place, sometimes they were jealous against me, in my opinion. I'm not trying to judge them, but looking at what happened, I saw those situations. Now, the pastors I spent the most time with, they were happy for me. My father was happy for me. But, you know, as I endeavored to go out and do God's will, people, I ministered at their church, but they wouldn't invite me back. Even though they said they were blessed. I didn't mind. I wasn't upset because I didn't get invited back most of the time. But I started noticing things. When people do things that's not right, they don't want it publicized. Now God has to deal with this problem. That's the only reason I'm mentioning it now. I'm not trying to embarrass anybody. But there are Philistines left in the land sometimes. There are residual worldly ways that people have not dealt with, and it will show up. Now, the best thing to do against those things is first forgive the person who didn't deal with it and expose it for what it is by the light of God's love. In the kingdom of light, everything is exposed as it is in real time. That's why when people go in God's presence, sometimes they see their sin. Now, when this happens against you, when it happens so you can see what's wrong, quickly repent and pray and ask the Lord to help you kill it. Because there were times that I went in God's presence and I saw things that shouldn't be. And I quickly repented and I asked the Lord to help me with it. And as I studied the Word of God, I made adjustments. If you judge yourself, you won't be judged. When you go in God's presence, hear me good. When you go in His presence, you can find things that shouldn't be. Sometimes you can find them, sometimes you don't. They show up later. But sinful things, they will show up. That's why it's so good for us to go in God's presence. We get a chance to make adjustments. That's why it's so good to go to church. Sometimes we miss things. I don't go to church, hear me good, I don't go to church thinking everything's perfect with me. I'm going to do God a favor. I'm going because I should. I'm going to help. No, I go just like I'm going to the hospital. I go to worship God. Yes, that's true. I go because I want to worship God. Another reason, I want to be around His people. Another reason, I'm going to the hospital to get my help. Because you don't have to have secret cancer in your body. See, everything that people leave alone and don't deal with, that's like a secret cancer in your body. You go to the hospital so if something's happening, they can find it and you can kill it. Now, I have to minister to a lot of people every week and every day. And I take that responsibility serious. I don't want to say something, get people off track or get people in strife. And it's so easy when you're so young and, you know, at 55 years old, I'm fighting demons that's thousands of years old. And the angels are helping me who are even older or some or the same age. And then the Lord, He's Ancient of Days. He always was. There was never time without Him. So He's helping me. Now, I know in part. And because I know in part, I believe in part. And sometimes the Lord needs me to believe things that I have no experience in yet. So I have to continue to learn. So to make things like they ought to be, I do what God told Joshua. Study the word day and night. So that you'll be able to do all to stand, so to speak. I at least want to finish my course and do the things that God ordained me to do. And I want to do it well. And I don't want to be a stumbling block in any case against anyone. Now, when the pastors got jealous of younger pastors or younger preachers and wouldn't let them minister, they didn't know why. And they, eventually they figured it out. And some of them, it was a stumbling block against them. And sometimes when people, some people do handle it worse than others sometimes. Sometimes people stay in faith and sometimes they just stop. They stop going to church and then the enemy give them or they start a church before they're ready. Or they start a church in strife. And it's a rippling effect. They're embarrassed before their family, before their wife, because somebody got in pride and got jealous against them. Just like Joseph's older brothers did him. Now some people quit. If this has happened to you, don't quit. Rise up. Because of the lack of knowledge and the worldly way and people's lack of growth, it's bound to happen. If or when it happens, rise up. Now remember, my father was a well-known Methodist pastor, and a lot of people loved him and respected him. In the southeast region, he was a wonderful man of God. But I saw his restrictions. I saw how he had to stay within the confines of the bylaws of the Methodists, and this is a wonderful organization. But he had to do according to those things as long as he was a Methodist. But my father was not the kind of person who denied the things of God. He knew this people spoke in tongues. He knew about it. But he felt like it wasn't necessary. But it is. And I disagreed with him on that, and I told him. And I said, Dad, this is important. But he didn't, he stayed the way, you know, he did the way. When people are in a circle, they stay within that circle. So I said, I'm not going to go and join an organization that has limitations. So when I became a minister, I went out, I went to churches who received the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, and you know, they were holding this in Pentecostal church, and I have nothing against Methodists and Baptists and other churches. The only problem I have, if I went to the Methodist church, I would bring my tongues with me. And I'm gonna teach the power of God. And eventually they might boot me out, I don't know. The Lord didn't lead me to go that way, so I didn't go that way. So here I am, a man of God who's in the holiness churches. And they didn't know my father. Now some ministers, even if they had pride against you, hear me good, if they have some kind of pride problem, and they, because they know your father, they'll invite you back. But I didn't have anybody in the movement, just me. They just don't invite you back. Now, my preaching style was this. I went to the Lord in prayer. He would give me a message. I never, ever preached a message that he didn't give me. That has not happened yet. And the closest thing to it, I taught a Sunday school lesson at Pratt City AOH. My sister-in-law invited me, and the Lord wouldn't give me a message. And I didn't understand. And I went there, and I got there on time. I was kind of nervous because he didn't give me a message. So I was going to teach the last thing he gave, because I never teach without, I don't do that. But they didn't want me to receive a message. They had a book, and they wanted me to teach the lesson that was in the book. So I taught the lesson that was in the book. But I was seeking the Lord all the way to the last moment. But it was formatted. And that's what they invited me to teach. So I taught it, and then the Holy Spirit added to it. I stayed with the format. See, the Holy Spirit recognizes, they invited me to teach the format. That's what they were doing, and the Holy Spirit knew that. So the message he would have given me, he did not. But he helped me to speak some things, some highlights within the confines of the format. So that was the only, and I had to teach under formats before, and the Holy Spirit always gave me something with it. Now man still thinks that they don't give the Holy Spirit, they're not used to giving the Holy Spirit free reign, and that's the problem. If people gave the Holy Spirit free reign, we wouldn't have the problems we have. And if people will follow the Holy Spirit once they have free reign, some people just preach whatever is in their mind and they don't have that discipline. My main message was to get the discipline back so we can stop lacking knowledge. My goal is to not let his people lack knowledge. And the method is to teach people to follow God. Now, so I would go before the Lord, he'd give me a message. And just like people don't want to give, they're not used to giving people God free reign, that's like going in his presence and seeing yourself as you are. Anytime you're around greater light, you're exposed. And you have to repent. And people don't always want to be exposed. And sometimes when you can say things and you can minister and it goes over well and people don't feel like they can do it, they get jealous. That was the only thing I could come up with. I didn't say anything wrong. I didn't preach the world. I preached what God gave, and now they don't invite you back. And they're the ones that inspired me in the first place. Now, the Holy Spirit inspired me too, but every minister that I know has helped me in life, just like Joseph's older brothers. Now, the way it works is the older generation teaches the younger generation, and then the younger generation learn what they know at an earlier age. And if they seek the Lord, it's only wisdom, and it's only the older generation do that job, the younger generation is going to do a better job. And the problem is people didn't catch it. Jesus said, he that believeth greater works than, you know, he will do greater works than me. And it happened. Jesus taught, love others as you will have them love you. Peter taught, love others as Jesus loved you. That's a greater message right there. And that's just one of them. When Jesus healed the sick, he healed every one of them. Peter walked by in his shadow. When they saw him, they were so ready to receive that they pulled from his anointing. When he walked by, just if the shadow just hit them, they'll get healed. That's a greater work. Now, if the church would not have deviated, we would be doing much greater works than Peter, because generations are supposed to do a better job. The brothers were doing their job to a certain point, because Joseph learned from Jacob, his father, Israel, and he learned from them, and he admired them, and he trusted them, and they betrayed him. So they betrayed him, and they thought their problems would be over. That's how it always looked when you're in a sin. It looked like it's going to work. But then, when they got home and lied to their father and broke his heart, and they saw how he cried and how it hurt his mother, Joseph's mother, they repented. They lied to everybody they knew. They betrayed the whole tribe. They betrayed God. And they did it together, and they knew it. They had to face each other. They had to lie to their father. They felt like they had to lie to him, and they did. They trusted to lie to their own father who loved them. They betrayed Joseph. They didn't know where he was. They said he was dead. They said so long they believed it. And they repented. Time happened. A lifetime later, 20 years later, here's Joseph in Egypt, and they need to buy corn or barley. They didn't have corn in Egypt. They went and bought food, grain. Now they went, and Joseph was the man they ran into, but they didn't know him. He was dressed up like an Egyptian. He was older. And you know the story. He kept one and sent the rest back. And then Jacob had to send their younger brother. And he knew that Jacob, that his father Israel, I can say it Jacob, but his God-given name is Israel. He didn't want to send Benjamin back because he didn't trust to do that with them. He didn't want some mischief to happen. And Joseph knew he wouldn't want to send him back. But he did. And then Joseph was going to keep Benjamin. And every brother wanted to replace. They didn't want to do that scenario again. They all wanted to take me. Send the boy back. They all repented. This shows that people can change. When people do you wrong and they realize it, sometimes they want a chance to right it. But that takes courage. You got to go admit that you did wrong. You got to go admit that you were wrong. And you have to do it publicly. And it takes courage to do that. They didn't have the courage to admit to their father their lies until they had to. But they did. And they were also willing to lay their life down. Now, the things that I learned, it was unpleasant. Because I saw people different. I looked up to the pastors and ministers that sometimes gave me the left foot of fellowship, so to speak. But I didn't hold animosity against him. I didn't stop praying for him. I didn't stop desiring God to prosper that ministry. And I spoke the word. Now, some of these pastors, they had me back and I ministered, you know, but they just didn't follow through what God really wanted them to do. And because of this, I wanted them to, and I desired them. I earnestly desired that they would follow God. Every one of them. They were wonderful men of God, and they blessed me. But I have to say what happened, because you're going to run into these things. People don't grow all the way. We grow from glory to glory. But they could have. They could have done it right. Now, this made me aware of me. What am I doing? I know that they didn't mean any harm. And I know I don't mean any harm. But what am I not doing? That's the question that I came up with. So I said, Lord, I don't ever want to not do right. I want to do everything you give me to do. And I want to do it right. With flying colors, so to speak. And I earnestly prayed. And, you know, I started confessing that I would do all that's in his heart. This is why. We miss things. We don't know everything, and they didn't either. But if they had followed God, it works. They would have been so much better off now. Many thousands of people would have been saved in their ministry, each one of them. Another thing, you know, I talk about receiving. In the last few broadcasts, I've been talking about receiving the word. Once the Lord tells you something, you have to receive it. Once you understand something, you have to receive that knowledge. Now, I've been talking about 1 Peter. The first chapter, the whole book should be one chapter. 1 Peter is the foundation, and every chapter is built on top of the previous. So, if people would do those things, they would weed out their relationship problems. If you fix your love walk, you can do all things through Christ. You're going to attract the Holy Spirit when you love his people. And when you love like he does. You will attract the Holy Spirit, and he will mightily move throughout your life. That's my great desire. That's what I want to see happen. But if people will not do the word, if they only go so far and stop, the rest of their life will reflect it. But if they go all the way, people will live that wouldn't normally live. Some people are not going to come to God on their own. But because of your prayers and because of your faithfulness and your newfound motivation and great joy, you will win souls that normally would not be won. This thing is serious. When I go to church, I make adjustments. And it's easy to get caught up and get on a tangent. And I know this. So I said, Lord, I don't want to get on a false tangent. I want to do everything your way. And I want to make sure I do it your way. So when pastors teach, if it's a rebuke, I receive it. If it's new knowledge, I receive that. If the Holy Spirit, whatever he bring to me, I put that on the top shelf and I work on it till I receive it, till I get it, till I don't forget it and I use it in my life. That's following God. And he's going to take you out of the bounds and out of the confines of your limited worldly views. And he'll bring you out of the tangent and into life. And that's where we're going. Those who follow God will enjoy a greater life. Forgive people. It's worth it. Joseph forgave his brothers. And he reconciled with them. And all of his maneuvers, it exposed what was in their heart. He wanted to see what was in their heart. He put them in a position where he would see what was in their heart. He maneuvered them. And they came to the point that they stopped lying to their father. They went and got him. They brought Benjamin back and all 70 of the people that came with Joseph. And then they thrived. They entered the land and they thrived like China. It was the wisdom of God to bring them to Egypt. because they were surrounded by the best army in the world, and they were living by Egypt was the superpower of the day. No army could defeat them, and they were in the middle of, they were living in the land of Goshen, well protected. And they came out millions. They went in 70, came out millions within 400 years. So I want to share this. The Lord loves us. He has great things in store. Your life, it may start out with 70. It may start out small, but it's going to be great if you follow God. The Lord is the multiplier. He took a little boy's lunch and fed 5,000. He can take your life and win millions, even in a short time. Don't limit him. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus is our Lord.